Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. This one is really awesome. It's with Nolan from B4 Barbecue and Boba. They're Maybank, Texas. And before I kind of explain the scenario, Nolan is just a great guy. You're going to love him after this. He has so much integrity, so much heart. He works so hard. He and his wife. This is a great story about determination and about switching careers, because he's only been doing this for 11 months. And I had heard about him. I had read an article from Daniel Vaughn, barbecue editor for Texas Monthly, where he talked about a place in Maybank that was so busy that it had to shut down. And that was his food truck. He talks all about that. And then now he is working out of a feed store. It's perfect opportunity, perfect spot. He describes it in totality. And he also talks about his pits. He built a pit. This interview starts where he talks about an eye injury, a burning of his eye from welding. So we start talking about that. And of course, just like all these, they kind of just jump into conversation. But the conversation is so great. I don't want to get too into it, but I know that you're going to love it. You're going to be so interested in visiting. You're definitely going to want to put this on your list. The menu just sounds spectacular. And the way he conceptualizes the menu, and this is just one thing I want to say, is that he's put it together so that if you don't have a lot of money, or if you're willing to spend for a large platter, you're covered. He wants to be able to feed anyone that comes in. And I think that's a great testament to who he is. And he gives a couple stories revolving that. But this is just an awesome thing. And this is just the beginning. They're thinking about breakfast and dinner. It's going to be even greater than it already is. And the food looks fantastic. If you're just listening to this on the podcast side, jump to the YouTube side and just look at the montage and you'll be blown away. And you won't believe that he's only been doing this for 11 months. It is crazy. So I can't thank Nolan enough for taking the time. It is raining really, really, really hard. So every so often there's like a sound, and that's the sound of rain, like really heavy Texas rain. So that's kind of a cool thing that is part of this. I tried to edit some of it out, but I left a lot of it in. But I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com if you want to see all of my lists and all the crazy stuff that I put together there. I'm at kevinsbbqjoints on all the social media. But at the end, stay safe and visit your local barbecue joint. Good afternoon, Nolan. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm good. First off, I want to know, I know that you had a little bit of an incident welding, and I want to talk about the pit and everything, but are you doing okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine now. So a lot of my buddies were kind of giving me crap about it, but long story short, while I was welding, I was wearing a mask. When I was done welding and I was using the plasma cutter, I took the mask off thinking, oh yeah, it's just a plasma cutter, it's not as bad. Well, long story short, yeah, those are... They definitely need to have the proper eye protection. What it is it boils down to, it's a sunburn on the eyeballs from the light from the plasma cutter. So I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning that night, feeling like somebody had just poured sand and jalapeno juice in my eyeballs. I woke up freaking out, not knowing what was going on. I felt like a complete baby. My wife, I had to wake her up, and she's like, what is going on? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I was like, I didn't know. So she ended up actually helping me get in the shower, wash my face, and then she helped me get dressed. And I was literally blind for 4 hours. And she had to take me to the ER. I had to put my hands on her shoulders and walk in. Stupid move on my part completely. I thought I was in the good, but I wasn't. And I learned the price, or I paid the price, and I learned from it. So that's not going to happen again.
What were those 4 hours of being blind? Did they teach you anything about your vision, like appreciating your vision more?
For sure. No, it was... I never was scared to the point where I thought I lost my vision. I knew that it had to have happened from what we were doing that day. I just couldn't pinpoint it. But once the doctor, as soon as I came in, he goes, let me guess, you were doing some welding today. And I was like, okay, so this is definitely a normal thing. I'm not the only idiot that's walking into this hospital with, welding issues. So.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. And this maybe if someone's listening, it's a good safety tip to wear the shield.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Is it goggles? Yeah. Are they goggles or is it a shield?
No, so I was actually wearing a welding shield while I was welding, and then I just threw on my sunglasses when I was using the plasma cutter, which was not enough.
Okay, well, we'll get to what you were doing to cause that. But first off, because I think I'm going to mispronounce it, is it Maybank or Maybank?
Maybank.
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 The first thing I didn't say.
Yeah, a lot of people when they write it out, if we have customers, if we have somebody that reaches out on social media and says, hey, where are y'all located? One of my customers will jump in and say Maybank, and then we'll have somebody else that's not a customer and they'll say Maybank, but they'll spell it with a Y. So for anybody watching, it's Maybank, Maybank.
Maybank, and that is
I think
south
there is actually
east.
another Maybank, Texas.
Oh
That's
yeah, I
MAY.
think there is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
Okay, so it's not
hopefully, we
that.
haven't had too many customers go to the other Maybank looking for us. So,
So it's the one that's southeast of Dallas, right?
Dallas. Yep. So if you just hop on 45 outside of downtown for like 2 miles, jump on the 175 going towards Kauffman. It's literally like a 50-minute drive from downtown Dallas to Maybank. It's about 20 minutes past Kauffman.
Did you grow up in Maybank?
No, I'm actually from Fort Worth,
Okay.
North Richland Hills, Keller area.
Okay. And then so growing up, were you involved in the world? What you were planning on military service, was that your goal?
Yes, sir. Yep, that was my goal. My dad, my grandpa, my dad, my whole every pretty much every male in my family has always been military. So it's kind of my natural calling. I didn't really have a say in the matter. I mean, I did, but I felt that it was my
In your
duty
soul,
to
like,
follow in their footsteps.
yeah, so like you were, yeah, it was like you were compelled to do that. Was it military service, as in specifically the army?
Yes, sir.
What do you think the military did to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Well, I think it started with my dad just giving me a good base foundation. He was never easy on me, never let me get away with things. He was the first one to put his foot in my butt, if you know what I mean, for
Yeah,
anything
mine
I
too.
did screwing up as a child. So, it always just kind of pushed me to do my best at everything. I have the mindset that the reason I feel like we do so good in this industry is not only because we're a unit as a family and we're doing this together to provide for ourselves, but I tell people all the time, there's not very many people in this world that are going to outwork me because, I just, when I'm doing something, I give it my all, and I got a wife and kids that look at me and look up to me, and they're, so even though they're here helping every day, but it's just as a unit, like, this is, there's no plan B for us.
No, there's no plan B. Definitely. So, how did this come about? When you came back, were you already married before you left?
No. So my wife and I went to middle school together. We've known each other since middle school.
Wow.
Never dated anything like that. We just kind of knew each other, friends. I posted a picture. It was kind of funny. Back, you remember the MySpace days?
Oh yeah.
I posted a picture on a mountaintop at our OP in Afghanistan, and I had on a Carhartt hoodie. We were so high up, we were actually above the clouds, where our OP was at like 7,800 feet elevation. And I was standing there with a picture with an AK. And I had a Carhartt hoodie on, and I just posted a picture on MySpace, and my wife at the time, she liked it, and then she was in my inbox like within 5 minutes, and it was, we just kind of started chit chatting. I think it was like on Valentine's Day or something. It was kind of the end of it right there. We just started talking, and I was all excited because I was just like, hey, I remember her. Like, she was like Miss Popular, super good looking girl at school, and I was always the quiet one. I wasn't allowed to party or do anything like that. So once I got in the military, I put some meat on my bones, and
Yeah.
just kind of went from a I blossomed from a little boy to a man, you know what I mean? So it was cool. But yeah, so we
That's very
started,
cool.
we knew each other in middle school, and then in high school went together, or went to high school together. Just kind of started talking like literally right as I was getting back from Afghanistan.
Well, your plans when you came back, they weren't barbecue related, but what were your plans when you got
No,
back?
man, this is not even a year old idea.
Yeah,
Like,
I
this
know.
is,
Yeah, that's what
it's mind-blowing, I'll say that much.
it is mind-blowing, really.
So when I first got out, I was chasing money. I went to the oil field. When I went to the oil field, I was driving a truck. I'd got my CDL, and I was making pretty good money, but I was starting to see how much money I was making other people. And I was like, man, I could do this for myself. So I ended up getting a trucking company, and we started that. And I taught myself how to cut hair when I was in the military.
Oh,
And so
yeah.
when I got out, I used my GI Bill to be a barber as well. So at one point, for a while, I owned a barber shop. I was cutting hair full time, while I had like 5 18-wheelers on the road running trucks. So we were doing really good money wise, but it was very stressful. And so we ended up selling our place, selling everything. And I kept the trucks, or I kept a truck for myself. We moved. I was doing the trucking by myself. COVID hit. It pretty much kind of wiped out my business. Like, I was still running and making money, but not like what we were, because I wasn't hauling essential goods like toilet paper and Lysol wipes. And
Yeah, the
you
mosaic.
remember those days. So,
It's
long
almost hard to
story short,
fathom.
no, it is for sure. But long story short, we ended up moving here to Maybank. I had no plan on ever doing barbecue. I didn't even start doing barbecue till COVID. Once COVID hit, my trucking slowed down. I went and bought me a pellet smoker. It was a Rectech. Started cooking on that, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And it got to where, like, every weekend we were cooking something new, and started getting to where I was like, we should invite some friends over. We'd have friends come over, and they'd come hang out and get in our pool and drink, and just start doing that. And I just kept getting more and more good feedback. And I just never really thought nothing of it. And then when we moved here, I took about 6 months off work. We made pretty good money on the sale of our home. So we just kind of hung out for a while. And my wife, I came time for me to go back to work. And my wife said, you know, hey, we don't really want you to go back on the road. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do? Like, that's all I know is haircutting. And the haircutting
Yeah.
world, I love it. It's my passion, but it's not something I want to do as a job to provide for my family every day. And so she was like, well, let's start a food truck. And I was like, doing what? And she said, barbecue. And I just was like, babe, like, I literally learned how to barbecue like a year and a half ago. What are you talking about? And she was like, you're really good at it. She was like, everybody always tells us. I'm like, all right, you know what? This is what you want to do. This is your dream. You've stuck by my side for the past 7 years doing what I want to do. Like, let's do it. Here we are. It's been like 11 months now.
Do you have a food truck? Because you're in a feed store, right?
We
Is
did.
That,
We yeah. So
that's
when
how
I
you
had the
started,
food
right?
truck, that lasted about a whole 3, maybe 4 months. We got too overwhelmed. We couldn't get any help. It was just my wife and I. I was new to the game, I guess you would say. And so long story short, it got to where my kids were coming out of school and spending every afternoon and every evening at the restaurant or at the food truck. And this is not the life I wanted for them. And so we kind of threw in the towel because we couldn't get any help. And then the gentleman that owns the feed store here, he called me up one day and was like, hey, man, like, where are you at? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, I went by to get barbecue and you're not there. I said, man, we shut down. I said, it was kind of a last minute decision. We didn't really warn anybody, but you know, my wife and I, we can't keep doing this to ourselves. He was like, well, he's like, let's go out to lunch sometime. And we went to this local cafe, had lunch. And he was like, I want to take you to the feed store and show you something. And he had this huge feed room or it was an old archery range that they were just using for storage. And he was like, you think you can make a restaurant out of this? And I was like, I looked at my wife and I was like, you want to get back into it? And she's like, well, we know we love it. We just need to get help. And then everybody in the community kind of got together and it's been wild ever since, man. It hasn't stopped. So
that's crazy. So the story I read from Daniel Vaughn, it was something along the lines of a barbecue spot that got too popular that they had to shut down, which was such an interesting concept because
I
that is
know.
Highly unusual. And it's such an awesome concept to think of that way. It's just, and also too, if people are listening or watching and they hear that noise, I'm gonna try to edit a lot of it out, but if they hear the noise, it's the rain that's coming down, so
yes,
that way
there's a lot of rain.
Yeah, there's a lot of rain, but otherwise it's not wrecking the interview. It's just if they'll hear it every so often, like a whoosh, it's Texas rain. But that is fascinating. What was that like though? Did you guys make the decision on the fly, or did that take some going home and talking and thinking about it? How did that?
I mean, honestly, I kind of felt like a little schoolgirl when it was offered, because I was like, this is my, it's like a second chance, even though it wasn't. Like, I told my wife, it was kind of weird. We might be the first people ever in business that shut down because we were just too busy to handle it.
I think so.
But I mean, it's just, it wasn't by choice. I mean, we didn't have help. And like I said, it was our kids. That's what, you know, when we started missing games, practices, powerlifting meets, it was like, you know, because we've never missed anything for our kids. And whenever our son started calling us, we're like, hey, are you guys going to make it today? And we said, no, bud, we're not going to. You know, it's heartbreaking. So.
Yeah. You only get that once. So, you know, like it's.
You do. Yep. Yeah. I can work the rest of my life. Money is never going to go anywhere. And, you know, but kids, you only have them until they're 18. And normally when they're about 15 or 16, they quit caring about you anyway. So
yeah, you've only got to go.
I'm going through that right now. My 16-year-old.
There's a fight.
He's got friends and a girlfriend. So we're second priority.
Yeah. You're in trouble. It's over for that. You'll get them back in like half a decade or a decade. You'll get them back.
Oh yeah. Once they have kids and then they need a babysitter for the grandkids, right?
Yeah. All of a sudden you're best friends with them again. It's been happening for hundreds of years. But did you have that pit when you were, and what were you cooking then?
It was actually my 250. I can show you. It's just a little red 250. I had it built by the place out of close to the Houston area called Pig Iron Patina. And even then, this was such a last minute decision. I didn't have a pit planned out, a builder. I had nothing. This was so last minute that I literally got online and just started looking on. I joined a couple barbecue page groups and I was looking for somebody selling a smoker, and that guy had just posted it. And so literally it went from us making this decision to me going and dropping like $6,500 on my first pit and opening, all within like an 8-day period.
Oh my gosh.
And so I literally bought the pit, and I think we started the food truck 2 days after I actually purchased the pit. So.
Okay. And that was, it's a 250. And then what's behind you then? Which pit is that?
So this is an Austin Smokeworks 1,000 gallon, one like Todd uses over at Cadillac.
How do you like that pit?
Man, it's hard to say, because this is the first and only 1,000 I've ever cooked on. I was used to a 250, which was my first big boy smoker. But I mean, the I'm getting good reviews on my food, so I guess it's working for us, you know what I mean? I don't, I'd have to cook on three or four other ones just to try to get a feel of how they cook differently. But for what we're doing, it's great. I'm already needing another one. We're in the process of building that other 500 down the back. So I'm pretty excited about that and see how that does, because that one I'm actually kind of getting to design and pick out everything for it. Stuff that I wish this one had, or you know.
And a quick aside, I have a short list of people that I want to contact and that I want to talk to, and you were on that list. And then randomly, just out of the blue, I get an email from Todd at Cadillac saying, if you haven't talked to Nolan over there before, I would talk to him now. He said, because he knows how much I like to talk to someone in the early days and then talk to him again like 2 or 3 years later, just because it's good for them to look back and see what things were like. But also, I love this early, like this beginning part. I think that's a really interesting time because it's so fresh and so new, and you're not sure what the future holds. And but it's a testament to your food and your customer service, because Todd's particular. Todd is so good at what he does, and for him just out of the blue say, Kevin, you should talk to him, that meant so much. It just meant a lot to me. Number one, just it was cool that he wrote me, but about that, because that's Todd's Todd, and then that says a lot to you. So I wanted to commend you for your it's I'm excited that you're putting out really great food, and that it's getting that word of mouth and that buzz.
Yes, sir. No, for sure. So that was my first time technically meeting Todd, getting to shake hands and exchange words. I met him at Troubadour, but he was actually speaking to some friends of mine next to us. I never got to meet him, but I was just like, that guy's kind of my idol in the industry. You know what I mean? Like Matt Pittman is the one who's definitely kind of set the bar to me for taking your brand and just, you know, sky's the limit. And then Todd's my idol in the fact of with the scale of what we're doing, with actually having like a sit down restaurant and putting out the best possible food that I can possibly give out, and I feel like he does that to a T. So
Yeah, and he had his other
it was super cool
career.
to have him come out. I don't know, just the way they do it over there, man. It sets the bar for me. So.
Yeah, and it's always the best. Like it's just always like top quality. Like he is just he's consistent, and he's gracious, and he's nice, and he's intelligent, and it's just I really like he and Misty, and I've called and talked to Misty before just personally, and they're great people. I really love them. So I
They
just
are.
wanted to let people know too that if someone like Todd is recommending. That's a huge recommendation, and I trust Matt to the end of the earth. Like he's always been
I
gracious to
wouldn't
me.
tell too many people that, but
Why?
no, I'm being funny. No, Matt's such a good
I
guy. No, his
was gonna
buddies
say,
come in all the time and they're like, oh yeah, Matt sent me. And I'm like, hey, I would keep that down a little bit. I wouldn't tell too many people
know exactly. No,
that.
Matt's funny too. Matt's just a, he's just a guru, a bit brand guru, smart guy, and he's also, but he's just, it's also Matt is, I think Matt, some people in their minds might think that Matt is a certain type of person, but he's just super down to earth. He's always been really,
He is, man. He's salt of the earth. Their entire family is beautiful, man. They've been nothing but supportive and helpful since day one, and they've helped us like tremendously. So.
yeah. And it's also given me an idea of where Maybank was, like prior to me Googling and figuring it out, because if Matt and Todd were connected to you somehow, I figured you had to be in that little Dallas Fort Worth. You had to be
Yeah.
near
So
nearby.
Matt's in Waxahachie, but he has a lake house like literally 15 minutes from our restaurant on Cedar Creek Lake here. And then Todd is in Dallas, which, like I said, is about 50 minutes, so it's not too far at all. So we're literally just our hop, skipping, and throw right at 7 minutes quick. So,
So what cut but what food were you serving when you were just selling out like crazy when you had to shut down?
brisket. We had a pretty basic menu, but it was still a lot for two people. It was, let's see, brisket, sausage, which we weren't making yet. We were using a Syracuse sausage. Turkey, spare ribs, pork belly, burn ends. I think that's it. Cooked a lot of barbecue since then. I think that's it though. I'm pretty sure. And then like sides, we had beans, mac and cheese, rice, and potato salad.
How did people know it? Was it just word of mouth too?
Yep, just word of mouth. And we're pretty good at, I feel like we're pretty good at market, like getting ourselves out there. Every day I try to do at least two or three posts, and you know what I mean, just. And then obviously ending up in certain people's backyards like Matt and stuff that have shared our stuff, like that goes, you know, worldwide. So I just kind of like, let's, I have literally people every single day that I had a family come in today from Florida, actually. They flew in. I had a family last weekend. I don't know if you saw that drove all the way in from
Oh
Kansas.
yeah.
So it's gotten out there for sure. So
Yeah.
I feel like social media is a very powerful tool, and
Oh yeah. It's economical. If you know what you're doing, you could really like it's not you're not putting ads in newspapers. It's not the old days. It really, pretty like television ads. It's pretty amazing what the power is. But when you first started with when you had the food truck, were you friends with Matt and those guys? You weren't friends. Were you friends with him?
no, I knew who Matt was, obviously, but no, I had no idea that he had a lake house here or anything. I
Did
didn't get
you
to meet or really start any of those guys until he got into here. That's really kind of what when we blew up was when we started having seating and having the indoor facility.
always before barbecue and boba?
Yes, that's what we started as back whenever we started last year.
And why is it called that?
So the B is our last name is Belcher. And there's four of us, my wife, my two kids, and myself. So that's actually our ranch brand. We have a small little ranch here in Maybank, and that's our ranch brand. And then when we lived in Fort Worth, we're big, we love Asian food, Thai food specifically, sushi, stuff like that. There's a place in kind of the Fort Worth area that was called Boba Tea House. We'd always go in there, and my son would eat pho. I would always get sushi and spring rolls, and the kids would always get boba tea. And so whenever we opened here, I was like, everybody does something, like Zavala's does the barbecue and coffee. And I was like, we have to do something. And then my little one, he was six at the time. He was like, yeah, let's do boba tea. And I was like, that's actually kind of a good idea. I was like, nobody does boba tea and barbecue. So here we are doing boba tea, which is Asian fusion barbecue out of a feed store in the middle of nowhere, Texas. And it's working. So
how many bobas do you sell a day?
honestly, quite a bit. I would say our average day of boba is roughly probably 30.
That's not
So it's
bad.
not near as much barbecue, but yeah, I mean, for small town country, it's definitely a lot of our travelers that come in that get the boba. But yeah, I mean, Thai milk tea is my favorite. That's I have one of those probably once a week. So.
Yeah, they're really good. And it's also other people, there are people obviously that probably have never had boba in their life before.
Yeah, no, I can't tell you the amount of times that I've had somebody say, "So what is boba?" And I'm like, so I was like, it's tapioca with cassava, but I was like, we have to cook it. We get them imported from Asia. I was like, it's kind of like sucking a circle gummy bear up a straw that doesn't have too much taste with a really good tea. And they're like, they just kind of look at me and I'm like, you just have to try it. Come on. So
And also too
it's
is
just
like,
one of those, like, you have to try it. It's,
yeah.
you can't really explain it. You know what I mean? It's just, you're either going to like it or you're not. So
Yeah, and it's interesting, and as long as they don't like someone doesn't choke on it, it's like I think
yeah,
people
no,
are
it's
so
fun.
surprised by getting it.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, because you have to have the
Yeah, I
large
always get
straw.
people like, do you have the popping ones? I'm like, no, we use the real boba here. We actually cook them every day fresh and everything. So.
Wow, that's really interesting. You should one day, one day if you ever film some of it, I'd like to have some footage of you of that process because I think that's really, really interesting. I would definitely, if you ever film that, like film a little bit of the process, I'd create another video and put it up because people are coming to my channel and people are checking out my blog. So I would love that would be or just do it for yourself and I'll share it. But I definitely
Yes,
think
sir.
that's an interesting thing. It's so unique. But do you have anything else that's Asian other than the boba?
So we all of so our chicken and our rice we do Indian style, so it's not Asian, I guess, if you want to
Yeah.
call that. But no, not Asian, because we use like a basmati and we do it like cilantro lime style. And we use like a butter chicken sauce that we make for the chicken. Our beans are more like a Hispanic style, like a charro bean. No, I think that's the only
Wow.
Asian fusion we have going on. But that's kind of our motto too, is barbecue with a twist. So everything we do kind of has a little flair to it. You know what I mean? Like I said, so the chicken is Indian style, the boba is the Asian fusion. So
Yeah, I was going to ask you what that with a twist meant. So that's what it is. It's a style and it's something that you guys, it's like you're selling almost selling food that you'd like.
yeah. So I
Specific.
tell everybody, like, in the barbecue world, all of us, we're all doing the same thing every day. We're all pretty much using the same brisket, same rib, same pork belly. It's just we're all putting our own twist on it. You know what I mean? We all have our own way of, it's kind of how we're showing ourselves off, I guess, with the different styles. Like I call it meat candy, but our pork belly burn-ins, we do them kind of like a peach cobbler style, pretty sweet. They're good. It goes very well with the pork.
Sounds really great. So
We actually, we sprinkle like a shortbread cookie crumble on top of the pork belly burn-in, which has the peach and everything. So it's pretty good.
it's pretty good. It sounds
Yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
It sounds really good. Let's talk about the feed store. Let's talk about your location. What is it like? You guys are open Wednesday through Saturday, right?
Yes, sir.
And what is
So we
what's the
open Wednesday
location?
through Saturday, 11 a.m. till sell out every day, which We had to put some sort of time on Google just for them to allow us to close that out. But it was, I think we put 3 o'clock. Location is literally, we're just right off 175 if you're going, going towards Athens from Kauffman. And see, I have customers all day, man. That's all. I don't know if you can hear the car honking because my pit room's right here by the road. Just all day long in the morning at 5:30, I'll have people out here honking at me. You know what I mean? But
That's
we
cool.
we're just right here. We're inside the feed store, and you actually will come inside the front door of the feed store. You have about a 50-yard walk. You go past the registers, and then to the left, there's just these two big wooden doors, and we keep them closed when we're not open, so we can clean and prep and everything. But pretty much, we'll open up those doors, and that line will go there, and it'll go. Sometimes it goes all the way out the front door. But the
Wow.
cool thing is, you can be like literally number 80 in line and still be indoors. So when the weather's bad, if it's cold or 110 degrees outside, you're inside climate control room without having to be on the elements. So
That's perfect. And is it like meat market style?
yeah, so you walk in, you go to the cutting board first. You order your meats. Then there's a girl next to him that does the sides. My wife works the cold table. She's the one who does like the pickles, onions, the cheeses. She makes everything very pretty, photogenic. And then I'm the one that gets to take the money from you.
You're also the guy cooking too.
Yes. So I get here like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, get everything going, and then I get everything off before lunch service, and we run service once we're done with. And I kind of like right now I have briskets on, so I'm cooking briskets. I do that all day. As soon as I get a break in customers, I'll run out here, feed the pigs more wood. Stir the coals up, and then I go back in, and then once everybody's done, we all clean, and then they all go home, and I'm still here cooking.
Wow, how much seating do you have inside?
We have enough seating right now for 68. Going to be going up to about 95 here soon, here in about the next month or so.
Why is that? You're building out to.
Well, so the like I said, the room we're in was an old archery range, and so we have about 75% of it now, but there's still a quarter of it that they're having to use for storage, the owners of the feed store, and but they're in the process of getting the rest of that done. So one. They're done with that. We'll drop that curtain. We're actually gonna have a full stage inside there as well, and we plan on opening the bar as well inside. You'll be able to come in and have like an evening service, and we'd like to start doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Being in the country, finding the proper, most experienced help is kind of hard to find, so I'm just kind of waiting.
So this is like stage one of multiple stages coming up. There's different things that are,
Yes, for
wow,
sure.
that's
Well, a
crazy. So
lot of people
that's.
I keep asking us like when we're gonna when are we gonna open up our own, or I don't ever plan on leaving the feed store. I just keep planning on expanding here. I don't ever want to have multiple locations. I'd rather just have one big,
It's kind of cool that you're in a feed store, I think.
It screams Texas, man. Like literally,
It's
you
so
come to my
Texas.
restaurant and there's cowboys getting out of dually trucks that have goosenecks with four or five saddled up horses in the back. They got cow crap and spurs on their boots and walking inside Ebar. You know what I mean? So it's cool,
And
man. It's everything I wanted it to be. So.
yeah, no, it's everything I would want, and it's like it's like my dream location. The way you've described it, it's like, oh, that's so perfect. And so also you too, you could go to the feed store, get like on your way out or on your way
Yeah,
in.
he's got a full clothing line, boots, Wrangler jeans, cowboy hats. I mean, any type of feed you need. They have a full boutique, like antique store in here. You can get candles and women can shop. He's about to put in a gun counter. I mean, it's pretty cool.
I love that. I love that so much. So let's jump to, I want to talk about the meats too, like the proteins that you serve, but
Yes,
let's
sir.
talk about the pit that you're building. Did you weld it in the army, or how did you learn how to?
No, I'm still in the learning stages. So Kevin, which is the owner of the feed store, his son Chandler, who's 22 years old, has been welding his entire life, helping his dad on their ranch and stuff, building fence and stuff. And he's just a really good welder. And they've been so supportive of us since we started here. It was one of those like. I just wanted to, he's always been intrigued with barbecue. Like he'll sit here and just watch me make sausage for hours, and he's like, man, it's so calming and relaxing just watching you do that. And I could just tell he kind of has a love for it secretly, but he's busy. And so whenever the opportunity presented itself, I had a customer of mine who's an old farmer. He's probably in his 80s. He comes in like a little motorized chair, and he was like, hey, if you're ever interested, I got some propane tanks in the pasture if you ever want them. And I went out there and checked them out, and pretty much was gifted to us. And so I told Chandler, I said, hey man, I can tell you have a love and passion for this. I've seen you weld all day, every day. It's, I mean, he built the pit room in here that we have, he built it for
That's
me.
killer.
And so it's one of those, like, I just, they help us out and they support us. So I want to, if I'm going to spend money, I'd rather do it with people that help me and support me every day. So,
Yeah, so you're so
and
you're
it's
do,
kind of a
like
cool way for him to get started.
so
Yeah. And
so so
it's,
how far along are you guys? It looks pretty far along.
yeah. So we've been on it for about a week and a half. And don't get me wrong, he's done 95% of it. It's been more just me helping. You know what I mean? Just kind of, I've designed it. For sure, it's definitely been him doing most of it. It's just me doing, like, a little bit of welds here and there, or cutting out some stuff in the plasma cutter form. So,
Wow,
but
that's
I would say we probably today he was actually over here right whenever I got your text. Just and I was like, oh shoot, I was like, I gotta go, bud. But he was just showing me, he just got the doors cut out and got the hinges put on. Firebox is completely done now. He built the legs for it today, the stand and everything. So really all that's left is to we're putting a damper in between the firebox and the cooking chamber itself. So it'll prevent, if you notice with my pictures, I always post there's walker logs in the pits to protect the meat from getting that direct heat. So we're putting a damper in there so that way I won't have to worry about those anymore. And I think after that it's just going to be building the racks, putting those inside, and getting the stack put on. So we're probably about a week out.
Ah,
So the whole process is going to be 3 weeks and probably a quarter of what it would cost me, and so, and I'm getting the support local and so.
no, support local, and it's you're doing it with him. It's like an experience. It's life.
Yeah,
That's really,
it's
really
happening under the same
special.
roof as our restaurant, so I mean it's pretty cool. So, and I get to go check on it every day. I get to help with it. I got to design it, so it's pretty cool.
And that the firebox looks different than most. Is that your it's kind of like a in my head it's like a blend, a Sentex-ish kind of it's kind of got
So I had a buddy of mine today mention the I didn't know they existed. I don't know if I followed them yet, but there's a place actually in California, I guess, called Harper. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Good guys.
So when I posted that picture, he was like, "Hey man, your pit kind of looks like Harper's." And I was like, "Who's Harper?" And he's like, "Harper's Barbecue out of Cali." And I was like, "I've never heard of them." I went and looked them up, and they do that. I guess they have that one single hole, but I got my idea off looking at, it was a muscle car that had, coming out of the hood, it had the two things. And I was like, man, imagine that'd be kind of cool for a door for a firebox. So that's how I got that idea. But yeah, I'm just taking little things that I see, trying to just build our own thing. You know what I mean? So.
That's killer. No, that's cool. It's just like it just seems like it's drawing from a lot, and that makes sense. Muscle cars too. Like that's also where pit builders draw their ideas from other things. It's whatever
Right.
work what works the best. That's
Yeah, I just heard about them today, but I mean the pits look pretty cool and I like how they did that. But we did, I guess theirs is single, ours is going to be a double. So, but it's the same piece of pipe that we ordered for the stack. I ordered an extra foot of it so we could cut 6 inches, 2 6-inch pieces off of that. And that's what we're using for that. So I'm super excited to get this thing fired up, man, because I feel like it's going to be an animal.
Yeah,
So
so that's a 500.
yeah, so that's a 500 year soon.
That's
And what's
killer.
crazy is, like, for that tank, for all the metal, everything total that I have invested in that thing so far is like $1,400. And that's like every, that's what, see what I mean? It's like, and I get to be part of it. So, and obviously I'm going to take care of him on the labor part, but I mean, I'm still going to be in less than $5,000 total for everything once it's all said and done. So it's pretty cool.
So like you said, like a quarter, like it'll be about a quarter of what it
Yeah.
would be. Which is huge. That's a big deal.
It is. It is. I mean, we're doing great, but I'm still not doing numbers like some of these guys. So, but it's, I'm doing what I can. I'm trying to support who I can, and I got to do what we can afford. Because one thing I told myself is I will never go into debt trying to make a living. And so, like we start, so like the reason, the way we started our restaurant, we sold our food truck, and the money I made off that is what I used to build out our kitchen and do everything here. So like
Smart.
we have no debt, no loan, nothing. We're 100% debt-free business, being less than a year in. So
That's
something I'm holding on to tight. So, and I
let's
don't want to go
let's
into
keep it
debt
that
doing
way.
it. So
Yeah, let's
yes,
keep
sir,
it.
for
Let's
sure.
make sure we keep it that way. Yeah, definitely. That's killer. So I obviously you said you had to put a number for the Google for the time that you close. What time are you selling out now? Just so people can get it in their mind.
Every day is different. So like last week, literally every single day was a record day that we've ever had. So like our Wednesday was the best Wednesday. All through the week it happened that way, and it was a record week. This week has been a little on the slower end. It's not bad. The numbers are still good. It's just instead of us having it nonstop full throttle, 85 to 100 people in line from the time we opened, there's only been about 20 people in line when we opened. And it's just taken us till about 2:30, 3 o'clock to sell out instead of being out of food by like 1:15. But I mean, obviously, like our busiest days are Friday, Saturday. Saturday obviously being the most busy because that's when we get all of our travelers from out of state, out of town. So each day of the week, we kind of have it proportioned out to where we know like how many briskets. Like typically a Wednesday, we're going to go through about 10 briskets. Thursday, roughly 10 or 11. But then Friday, we normally go through 14 or 15. And then Saturday, we know we can get away with about 20 briskets. So.
Oh, wow. That's a decent amount.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. That's good. And also probably a little bit is because the notoriety from the YouTube, the Matt Pittman thing. I think that
Yes.
probably spilled over for that last week, I'm sure.
Yeah. So when Matt first came in for the very first time, he walked in about 2:30, and I was sitting there cutting on the board, and I kind of looked up, and I was like, is that Matt Pittman? And I told my wife, I was like, hey, Matt Pittman's here. She's like, who? I'm like, Matt Pittman. She's like, who's Matt Pittman? I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like Meat Church, my favorite seasoning. I was like, that's the owner. And I was like, game faces, everybody, come on. Long story short, man, I had like scraps left, and I did the best I could. And then Matt, like, for whatever reason, liked it. Which, if it would have been, if I would have looked at that platter now, I wouldn't have served it to him. But him and Tracy loved it. He gave us a little shout out, which we noticed a little bit of a influx in business from that.
Yeah.
And then he called me back like a week later and was like, hey man, have you ever done any festivals? I was like, no, I haven't. Never done anything, man. Like, I'm so new to this. And he's like, well, I got a buddy of mine that I'm going to reach out to. And I get a call from Chase Colston from Troubadour about a week later. And he's like, hey, man, Matt told me, great things. I'd love to have you out. So we did that, rocked it, loved it. It was amazing. Can't wait to do it again this year. Matt hit me up again probably a month or two later and was like, hey, man, like, are you familiar with my Can-Am pit stops? And I was like, no. I was like, I've seen them, but I'm not too sure. And he had done one with like Hurtado, Panther City,
Yeah.
Danes. And, he was like, he's
Zavala's
like, I want to do one. So he came and did a Can-Am pit stop. That helped us a bunch too. And then I want to say about a month and a half ago, he texted me and said, hey, do you have any cake? And I was like, yeah, which one do you want? He was like, some of the strawberries. Like, I'll be out there in 10 minutes. I was like, all right, cool. So he came in, and then he was like, hey, I got some openings this next week. I want to do a video with you. What do you want to do? And I was like, man, you tell me. Like, what have you not done yet? Or he's like, well, what's some of your best sellers? And I told him, and he's like, well, let's do it. So we did that, and it's been a blessing, man. My family is, I owe them the world, man.
Now he's good, and yeah, and I know that he's close with Chase. That's a perfect, yeah, that's a nice little. Okay, I was wondering how Troubadour kind of fit into that whole thing, so now it makes sense. Okay,
Yeah,
all
so
right,
him and Chase are close, and he pretty much is spreading the word for me. So, and
yeah,
Chase finally came out and actually got to sit on any of the platter a few weeks ago. So that was pretty awesome. So,
good guy. What a good guy,
yeah.
a really good guy, and that's
Barbecue community is full of a lot of great guys, man. It really is.
definitely. And I've been like, I haven't helped my mom for all these for like 3 or 4 years. So I haven't had a chance. Like a lot of these guys I know this way, the way we're talking to each other. So it'll be nice when I get a chance to go on the road once she's completely healed up and then get to meet you as well as other people in person. But
Yeah, I can't wait to give you a tour, man. Like you'll love it here, man. I don't have any background in this. I taught myself how to cook on a pellet smoker during COVID, and I just ran with it. But I've never got to work in a restaurant. I've never got to work in barbecue. I mean, I ran the cashier at Whataburger like my senior year of high school. That was the only food experience I had. But so I don't have any bad habits that I know of, and I'm self-taught. So
yeah.
it kind of conflicts with certain people that I work with and that have barbecue experience, and they've kind of. And they have a certain way of doing things, and I can tell that we have a difference, but it works.
Yeah, who cares? Really, it's like it's you got to do, you got to do what you got to do. But do having not come from a restaurant background per se, is there anything that you advice that you give people or something that you've learned that you could share advice? Because I think that you're coming from such a different place. Is there something that you've learned in opening a restaurant that you didn't know prior to opening it? Maybe that's a better question.
So if I had any advice, I will say one thing that I feel like helps me the most is I'm very good at speaking to people. I may not be good on video. In person, I'm very good at making people feel welcome. I can read people very well. I can tell if somebody's having a bad day or if they're kind of a hermit in their shell. I'm going to bring them out of that shell. That's like a mental goal I have if I meet them. I'm good at talking to people, and I give people the service and respect and the quality that what I want. Like, so when I cook, I don't cook for the way I want people. I cook for the way I would want it to taste. I treat people the way I would want to be treated when I go to a restaurant. I try to give them that customer service that lacks so much in today's world. But I feel like I'm finally found my calling is what it feels like, because I'm getting to talk to people, I'm getting to cook, I'm getting to put my OCD to work every single day with my food and my rest. Like, it's just works, man. I don't know. Like, it's, I finally found it. And it's crazy because I'm working 16, 17, 18 hours a day. But like days that I get done early, like I get bored. Like, I love being here. I just, this is my calling, man. This is what I want to do. So
how amazing is that?
It hasn't been a hard struggle or anything, you know, and I'm not trying to say that in a snide way, because I know a lot of guys in this industry are struggling, and you know, they may not have it as good as we do, or you know, but I'm just doing the best I can, and it's working. So that's what I'm just trying to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, well, and it seems too like there's a lot of people that I'm friends with or that know that are stopping in and visiting, and it's like the Dustin from Mule Skinner. I saw he stopped by recently. What a nice guy too. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I just got that fire cable from him. It's actually right here next to me right now. But we're going to do some pretty cool stuff with that for Fort Worth Food and Wine Festival. So we're pretty excited about that.
Oh, that's cool. And so you had mentioned pot. Do you have cakes and pies and stuff? Or?
Yeah. So my wife, bless her heart, she can't stop working too. That's just kind of her mindset. So our kids are doomed. They're probably going to end up in the, you know, taking over the family business. So they're going to be hard workers too. But she's always loved making cakes. She's phenomenal at cake pops and everything. And so we do, I think, 7 different desserts here on a daily basis. And they're all made here in-house, fresh daily. We do a coconut cream pie tres leche with pineapple. We do a strawberry shortcake tres leche. We do a fruity pebble tres leche, a Texas chocolate pecan tres leche, a blueberry muffin tres leche. And then we do a homemade banana pudding, churro sopapilla cheesecake bites, and a chocolate mousse cheesecake. So it's kind of like a cheesecake texture, but like in a pudding form.
Wow.
So we have every one of those here every single day.
Wow. She does all of them. That is insane. Do you guys, do you have enough cold storage? That's amazing. That's quite crazy. You have enough cold storage there? Because you're also making sausage, right?
Yes, so I make my own sausage as well. Yes. And I just started that like 3 months ago. I was buying sausage. I started with Syracuse, then I started using the Heart brand, Wagyu. And then my buddy Derek over at North Texas Smoke, he gifted us with a hand crank sausage machine for like $100. And I love that thing, man. And just kind of rolled with it. It's been working. So like, I try to do different sausages every week. So this week I did like a chili queso, chorizo queso sausage, and then a it's like a Texas Twinkie jalapeno pepper jack sausage as well.
Wow.
So that's the two that I have for this week.
The blueberry pancake. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I did a blueberry pancake with maple syrup sausage. I do a chicken bacon ranch sausage. So every week I try to do 2 different flavors. We always have 2 flavors, but I try to do 2 different flavors every week as well. So.
Okay, so they're not going to be like, there's no standard sausage. It's always going to be 2 special sausages that you make every
week. Yeah, I have people all the time that ask me, they said, do you ever just have like a regular sausage? And I said, brother, nothing I do is regular, man. I'm always trying to be up here every time.
So, oh,
yeah, I've never done just the plain sausage.
Wow, so I'm going to have to highlight your sausage too. Gosh, this is, talking to you reveals all these different layers of who you are as a person, but also what your restaurant is. This is a pretty fantastic thing that you're doing. It really is.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So in a nutshell, I get bored easily. So if I don't keep myself at a higher level of expectation and try to get more and more out of myself, I'm not saying I'll get bored with barbecue, but I just, it's what drives me. It feeds me. You know what I mean? It's always like, can I do more? Can I do more? Can I do better?
Wow. So, and it seems like eventually you're going to have breakfast, you're going to dinner, you're gonna have a steak.
Yeah, so I cook the girls breakfast tacos. We do homemade bread and tortillas here. So I'll get up here and we'll get down on the griddle and I'll fry up some tortillas and we'll take some brisket, eggs, like some chorizo, pico, and everything, mix it all together, fill it in tortillas and stuff. So try to keep them happy, you know what I mean?
So you're already doing breakfast for the staff,
just for the crew? Yeah, for us. Yeah. It's just me playing with like recipes and stuff.
But someday you could be open for breakfast potentially.
Yeah, if I could get help, I mean, I would start tomorrow. If I could get the help, I would start immediately doing breakfast. Wow. So out here, a lot of people commute to Dallas, which is like a 45, 50-minute drive in the morning. So we would have to have breakfast available at, say, 6 a.m. People come in, grab a cup of coffee, eat some breakfast, or grab it to go, and hit the road to be at work. So
wow.
Probably do breakfast from, like, say, 6 to 9, and then shut down for an hour, hour and a half, kind of prep and get everything clean and then open back up at lunch at 11.
Do you sell meat church seasonings there?
I do not. That was a gift from Matt. Whenever he came into the thing, he brought me a bunch of seasoning and a flag. And because I'm all about supporting people that support us, Matt's been a great supporter. And so in the restaurant, down the walls, I have all different types of people's business shirts, their hats, their banners, posters. You know, and I get people all the time that ask me, like, hey, man, how much do you charge to like rent a spot? And I'm like, I don't charge. And they're like, seriously, everybody else does. And I'm like, you guys support us. The least I can do is support you, you know? So, my whole, like in the front, when you come in and walk in the restaurant, we have the glass with the counter where you walk down. But I have these rows. There's probably over 150 different cards where I have people that set out their business cards. So, as people walk down our line, you know, I'm letting my customers promote themselves too. So, I mean, it's a hard world, man. It's, you know what I mean? COVID did a lot of damage to a lot of people in their businesses. And, you know, if I have these people that are coming here supporting me weekly, some of them daily, like they do, the least I can do is let them put a shirt or hat on the wall or put some of the card down. You know what I mean? So.
Definitely. So you then are you using some of the Meat Church's spices then for?
Yeah. So we use Voodoo for the mac and cheese and our elote. And then during, for our Texas Twinkies, we mix our seasoning with brisket, three different cheeses. And then once we're done, we mix the Texas sugar with some of ours and roll the twinkies around in that. So,
Oh, cool. And if you want to see details of that, that's in the video, right?
yes, sir.
That's cool. And I'll put a link to that below because that's fun. And that's isn't it amazing the power of Meat Church? Like what, it's over
Man,
two, 200,000.
206,000 or something yesterday. It's crazy, man. It's
And
a
what's funny
blessing
is
for
he probably
sure.
wasn't like he you probably paid attention more than him because you know they he's that all the videos that he does, he promotes them properly and they're successful and people love what he does and they trust what he's they want they were
Yeah,
curious, very curious. So
for sure.
that's cool. So what is there anything else that people don't are special wise or are there certain specials or they kind of because of the way you are, you kind of create specials on a daily basis, just whatever.
So one of the things I pride ourselves on is the way we set up our menu. So I was poor growing up. I didn't have a lot at all. I used to go to the local gas station and steal food in the mornings just so I could eat sometimes. I've never said that publicly, by the way. So, but long story short, I've worked my tail off my entire life to get to where I am. I've never had anything handed to me or given to me, and I know what it's like to struggle. And so, what I wanted to do with this business was I wanted to make sure that no matter what walk of life you're in, if you're lower income, middle income, sorry, I'm getting emotional right now. I wanted to make sure that anybody that comes walking into my restaurant feels confident and comfortable to eat. You know what I mean? I don't want them to feel like they're not good enough, they can't afford it just because we're getting all this hype and all this, you know what I mean? Like, I want our food to be affordable for everybody. So you can come in and you can order something, you know, as little as $10. Most of our lunch specials, like a loaded potato, nachos, taco lunch, all that's under $15. We have a sampler platter that's $25, but it gives you every single piece of meat plus a side and a drink. And then I do have the, you know, the big platters like the Belly Buster, the family meals and stuff like that. So I try to make it to where anybody that comes in, man, they can come in and eat, and they don't have to, because I get people that come in all the time, and you can tell that they're kind of, you know, lower income, and it's, you know, whatever their story is, I don't know, it's not my business. But you know, they just kind of like walk in, and you know, I had one older gentleman that you could tell he just had a rough life, and he just was kind of looking around, and I said, "Can I help you with anything, sir?" And he was like, "Oh, I can't afford you, man. I'm just admiring what you got going here." And I was just like, "You know, well, are you hungry?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I made him a sandwich and just gave it to him. He's like, "You didn't have to do that." And I was just like, I said, "I've struggled, man. I promise you, I have. So I know what it feels like. So don't ever feel like you're not good enough to come eat. You know, just because you know we've been on YouTube and all these shows and everybody's talking about us and stuff like that doesn't, you know what I mean? We still want to make sure that we feed everybody. So I'm not, it's hard to do market style barbecue an hour outside of a Metroplex, out of a feed store in the country. And a lot of my customers are farmers and ranchers, you know what I mean? And so those guys, they have it rough. So
Yeah, and you don't want to price them out. You want
sorry,
them to
man, I got
have.
a little emotional there.
No, I like
That was
that. I
deep.
know it's the humanity. It's who you are. It means a lot. I think people are gonna get a lot out of that because it shows what type of person you are. It also shows that, you know, I know that there are people that can't afford barbecue. That can't afford because it's scary to go in and they're embarrassed or they're whatever. They don't. It's
it's expensive out there, and it's also you have to make a
It is.
living, but you want to be able to offer options that are feasible for whatever walk of life comes in. Like, I think that's great. And it's also, you are going to have a, because of where you're located, you're going to have a mix of customers. You're not going to just have those crazy barbecue guys that come on like a Saturday that are used to spending $100 on something. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah. I
Right.
love
That's
that.
what
Love that, Nolan.
I tell people is like, it's nice having these, our belly buster, which comes with pretty much like a quarter to a third pound of every meat, three sides, a dessert, and two drinks. We do that for $60. You know what I mean? I try to be as affordable as I can,
Wow, that's
but I know
great.
not everybody can afford that, but that's a good platter for all of our travelers. That's what most of them get. But you got to pay attention to your local demographic and the people that actually pay your bills daily. And those are the ones that, like, I literally have customers that come in here, if not every day, that are here at least 2 to 3 days a week, and they're always ordering something different. But I mean, we have a taco lunch. It's two tacos, two bacon brisket tacos, a side and a drink, and that's like $15. You know what I mean? And they're huge
Wow.
tacos. I have a spuds that are 2 pounds a piece. We do those with a drink for $14. Like, so I try to have an affordable menu for people so that way they don't feel like every time they come eat barbecue, they're like, oh, well, we're about to go spend $50 or we're about to go spend $100. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, literally, you can go to Whataburger now, and I don't think you can get a regular cheeseburger anymore for less than $8. You know what I
No,
mean? So,
I was gonna say
trying to
McDonald's
stay.
is like $15. Like, you'll spend that much on,
Yeah. So, I'm not trying to compete with them, but I'm trying to let people know that, like, you guys don't have to go eat fast food and go get a double cheeseburger just to try to stay within your budget. Like, come up here and let us make you a, our brisket mac and cheese nacho. So, what we do there is we take a bed of tortilla chips. Instead of using nacho cheese, we put our brisket mac and cheese, and then we top that with chopped brisket. Then it's pico cheese, jalapenos, then we hit it with our barbecue sauce, sour cream. I mean, that's $14, and it comes with a drink, and that thing's literally like
Oh,
2 pounds. It's huge. You know what I mean?
that'll fill
So,
you up. That's great. You could share that with a
so
friend. That's killer. No, that's really great.
another thing I did with the menu was I tried to make it to where I build as many menu items as I possibly could based off the food we were already cooking in a day. So instead of me having to, order all this extra stuff to do, try to do all this extra stuff, we already had chips, we already had mac and cheese, we already had brisket. So why not do tacos? Why not do this? We created a Mac Daddy sandwich, which is just a brisket sandwich topped with brisket mac and cheese. My wife put pickles, onions, barbecue sauce on it. It's delicious. And it was something we're already doing, but that gives people other options. You know what I mean? So
That's a smart way to do it. That
I
way
don't
you
ever
got.
want somebody to have, a reason to say no. People say, hey, do you take Apple Pay? Do you take, yeah, of course. Like, I'm not gonna give you any reason and walk out of here without spending money. You know what I mean? But I'm also trying to give them as many options as they can to afford their budget.
How big is your staff right now, or your team?
So my wife, Hugh, Mo, Russell, and myself. So there's five of us total. And my wife comes in every morning with me, her and I. We open up all the doors, we load the pit, we get everything going. She goes ahead and gets beans and mac and everything going in there. And then she typically heads out about 6:30, 7 o'clock to go home to wake the kids up, get them. I say kids, my oldest is 16, so he's old enough to be by himself. But wake them up, get them ready for school. And then she takes them to school and she's on me back by 8:30. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. So,
The
and then
lifestyle.
I'm always the one that's here. Yeah. So we try to, obviously, when we need the most help is during service hours, in the morning, getting everything prepped. But at the end of the day, it's just me and these, 20 briskets I have on right now, and so I can handle that by myself. So it allows me to not have to spend extra money on labor. So
Yeah. Are you hiring right now? If people are watching this and they want to apply, like, for later on, should they?
yeah, no, for sure. I'm looking for two people to come in and start doing mornings, and then I'm also looking for two to three people to come in during the evening. So I want
Okay.
to incorporate breakfast, and I would. I think for dinner at first, I don't know if we're going to do a full barbecue menu, but I would love to get this griddle going with a bunch of smash burgers with all the extra
Yeah.
trimmings we're getting off the briskets and stuff. And that would help me do better just based off of.
Yeah. Is there a barbecue spot that you're interested in going that you've seen online? Because I know you don't go online a lot.
Yeah, so I have a Cadillac is one. That's my number one that I wanted. I still have never been, but they're open every Thursday and Friday, which are two of my busiest days. And then I think one Saturday a month, which is another one. So Cadillac for sure, Truth, and Burnt Bean Co., which I think we're going to go to Burnt Bean Co. this weekend. I want to go take the family down there, leave here Saturday after work. I had a board made by White Oaks Woodworking from Caleb. And so he's doing our board for us. We're going to go pick that up. And then I want to take the family to go have like a nice brunch on Sunday morning down there with burnt bean.
Burnt bean just looks silly. It looks so great.
Those are like my three. If I had like my top three favorite list, that would be them. It'd be Cadillac, Truth, and then burnt bean.
And I know people that have crawled into Cadillac like late in the day, and whatever they've gotten, like whatever's left, is like some of the best barbecue they've ever had. So that's
I've had literally people come in here and ask me for scraps. I'm like, I don't even know how to charge you for this. Like, they want my burnt end pieces off the ribs or something, and you know, they're like, man, I'll take whatever you have. And I'm like, I have the time, I just give it to them, you know. But it's just like, I have one guy that he'll come in and I'll just say, whatever scraps you have, man, he's like, just put them in a thing for me, charge me whatever you want to charge. I'm going to go home and make some really good beans with it or something. And I'm just like, I literally had people trying to buy scraps off us. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, who would have thought, you know?
Yeah, so it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Also, I didn't want to be remiss. And do you guys sell, your sauce and seasoning? Wait, what is that seasoning? Spice, not sauce and seasoning.
Rub.
Yes, why am I, like, I lost my train of thought. Okay, yes, so do you sell?
I'm in the process of working. We're going to. So I just sent my recipes off. I'm still waiting on. We're kind of going back and forth. I just send them the full recipe. They make it there. They send it back to me. I have to try it, see if it's the same.
Okay.
And we've just kind of been going back a couple times. But yeah, so we're going to be doing our own sauce and our own rub. I'm just waiting on them to kind of critique their recipe. So.
Cool. That's another thing. And then do you have merch right now?
I did. They've kind of wiped me out since that YouTube video. So I do need to get some more hats.
Okay.
Cool. So I still have stickers, but that's all I have right now.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This was number one. I enjoy talking to you. I could talk to you for hours. And I think people are going to get that, you know, they'll get to know who Nolan is from this. And, you know, another reason why I do these is so people get to meet you prior to visiting and get to know you a little bit better and know your story and know where you're coming from. And I'm so excited for your future. And it's, you know, I'm glad that you're able to balance the family life and all the other stuff and make this work. And I'm glad that this opportunity came about, because, you know, what are the odds of that happening too? It's just, it seems like it's working out. It's really cool.
Yes, sir. It's been a blessing for sure. Found my calling, I feel like, and I'm just grabbing hold of the reins and hold on, man, because it's been a ride for sure. And I'm loving every bit of it. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Let me know if there's anything you need too.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it, sir.
Have a good evening. Have a good day tomorrow too.
You too, sir. Enjoy yourself. Have a good evening.